The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
That's two straight finishes. She hasn't lost at 135 pounds.
This division win. Nobody finish. I am like Charles Lebron.
Mayra Chitara Bueno Silva!
That's the statement that he was looking to make, and he could not have done it any better.
I know how hard I hit. I know how good of a striker I am. I know hard decisions, but I knock people out.
Arnold Almighty Allen, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're out of here.
All right. Well, hi, John. Matt's away today. Thanks for joining and filling in. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I mean, I know to try to fill in for Matt Serra is an absolute impossibility. I don't think anybody's going to bring that type of energy to the table, but we'll do the best we can today.
It is weird. Matt is he's a freight train. And if you know Henzo, he's very much the same way. Like, they're just these balls of energy. But it's always a focused energy. Like, when they're talking about something, they're intensely, and they're both very captivating guys. Like, I've seen Henzo in the gym when he was promoting someone, and there's just a room full of people, and he's being fucking hilarious and comfortable. And that's kind of how Matt is, you know?
100%, just an absolute force of nature. But the sincerity is there. When you talk about both those guys, with Matt and Henzo, like, you know, they're not bullshitting you. You know what I mean? It's sincere, and it makes you care. Like you said, it's captivating. It gets your attention. So Matt Serra is a legend. So I would never pretend to take his place. I will just sit in the chair briefly for a day.
Well, Matt is, there's the thing about Matt too, and I talked about this recently. There's no lying in Matt. Like, he couldn't lie if he wanted to. It's just, he's too honest. He's emotionally honest. He just can't hide it. So he's very, you always know exactly where you stand with him. And he's with Dana right now, and Dean Thomas fucking around in Toronto doing Looking for a Fight.
Oh, look at that. He's getting the nice choice assignment. Although it's a little chilly up there in Toronto these days. UFC 297 fight week, looking a little cold out there, but I'm sure they'll have a great time. But yeah, to your point, I do want to say that is an amazing quality in any human being, and Matt Serra has it. Just be honest. I mean, you know, look, Sean Strickland, maybe a little brutally honest sometimes. Maybe he says some things people don't want to hear. But honestly, I'd rather just know where I stand and what you think on something than to try to BS somebody and play a game. Just let people know where they stand.
No one has ever said, hey, I met Sean Strickland. I wonder where I stand with him. You know immediately. There's no pretending. And again, some guys are just too emotionally truthful, and they can't hide it even if they wanted. What do you think of Sean against Dricus du Plessis as the main event at 297? I mean, again, nobody expected him to do what he did to Izzy. What do you think about him against Dricus?
It's so wild, right? Because this whole middleweight division went down a path that we weren't expecting, right? I mean, all this buildup was to Israel Adesanya and Dricus du Plessis and the intense rivalry they had and the pride of Africa and all these things. And that's what we thought we were building to. And then Sean Strickland came in here and just spoiled the party, man, and put on a masterful performance against Israel Adesanya. And now I'll be honest with you, Jim. I'm as excited as this fight as I am for anything on the calendar right now, just because I think a little bit of the unpredictability of it, a little bit of the way the styles match up. I mean, I don't think either one of these guys is backing down. They've both been aggressive. I mean, they had round one in the crowd at T-Mobile Arena just to get you a little extra fired up about it. And, you know, I think this fight week is going to continue to play out and add some flavor to it. But it's an intriguing matchup, man. This, to me, is like a 50-50 fight. And those, to me, are my favorite kind of fights. I mean, MMA, yeah, you never know for sure. And that's right. What's awesome, right? You never know for sure. But when you really look at a fight and you're just like, man, this thing is 50-50 to me, that excites me. And that's what I feel we've got here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think the thing I was most impressed with was Strickland over Izzy. And I don't remember if we talked about this. I know I talked about it with Matt. But it was round three. And that was the thing. And we may have discussed that already, but it was round one. All right. He had a great round. If I remember right, he almost finished him. Round two, Adesanya won. He was, you're like, oh, here it comes. And then for Strickland to be able to stop that momentum in round three and then impose his will, it's fucking amazing. And I'm sure people who watch a lot of fights recognize that, but that to me was as impressive as the win was that round three. I felt that was even more impressive than what he did at the end of round one.
Yeah, that's a solid observation, man, because as you said, you know, when things start to shift the way, okay, yeah, here's what we thought we were going to say. And for you to dig deep within yourself and say, no, we're not going to. And I mean, it just really was a mature performance. And knowing, you know, Sean knew that everybody was doubting him, that nobody was giving him a chance. But, you know, his team did. And gosh, man, the leadership of Eric Nixick, I mean, you can't say enough about that. And the type of emotions and the psychology that he brings to the table. And yeah, man, it was just a great performance. And listen, I think it's one of those performances too. I think it's real easy for maybe people to step back and say, yeah, but I don't know. Did Israel Adesanya really have a good night that night, or was it an off night? And maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't his best stuff, but you can't take away from Sean Strickland. You can't chalk it all up to, oh, well, Izzy had a bad night, so Sean just got lucky. He put in the work and it all paid off on that night. And I thought it was a beautiful moment to see, really, for him to be crowned champion.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes somebody has a bad night because of what their opponent is doing. And he said something in between rounds about how I can't get my jab. Well, he complained about something that Strickland was doing, which was frustrating him. So maybe he was a little off, but I think that he had a bad night primarily because Strickland was really frustrating him and just putting so much pressure on him. And I think Strickland caused that shitty night.
I think you're 100% right. And, the other lasting image of that fight for me will be, you know, obviously Sean Strickland doesn't go sit down in the corner, but they're like having to like corral him back to the edge of the cage to even talk to him. Like, he's like, no, I'm in the center. Let's go. We're not stopping this thing. Let's go. And I don't know, man. I thought it was an amazing performance. And look, I think he's going to need a similarly amazing performance on Saturday night, albeit in a much different style, right? Because Dricus du Plessis brings something entirely different to the table. Mm-hmm. It's not that he's going to bring that, you know, beautiful style and master of movement and master of distance and range. Like, no, he's going to bring sheer unbridled aggression. He's got that wild timing, you know, kind of does everything on the offbeat. It looks kind of awkward, but it's so effective. And I think we're going to have a fun fight on Saturday night.
Yeah, and I think he's 6-0, if I'm looking here. Looks like 6-0 in the UFC, and 5 of the 6 are stoppages, and the only decision is Tavares, who, he could probably go the distance with anybody. I think the first time I saw Izzy fight, like in person, like the first time I was at an Izzy fight, if I remember correctly, was him and Tavares on a Thursday night fight night, I think it was, but he went the distance. So yeah, du Plessis has been TKOs, and who did he sub? Darren Till submitted, but not that Till is known for his amazing ground game, but still very, very impressive so far in the UFC. Whitaker, Brunson, I mean, he's knocking out guys that are really just typically not easily stopped.
No, not at all. That's, as you said, Brad Tavares, I mean, the veteran that he is and how long he's been around and what he brings to the cage. But listen, I see a lot of people, in the same way that a lot of people are kind of doubting Sean Strickland, I see people doubting Dricus as well by saying, yeah, but Darren Till, where was he at in his career at that moment? Derek Brunson, he was kind of on his way out, so where was he? Robert Whittaker, I saw a report come out this week that Robert Whittaker begrudgingly kind of said, yeah, I did have an injury. I don't want to talk about it because I don't make excuses. That's not me, but I probably shouldn't have had that fight that night. And so now people are saying, well, that amazing win over Robert Whittaker, where everybody said, now this guy's a title challenger. Maybe that didn't mean anything. So that's why I just think there's so much at stake here. So many question marks, and why I think it is kind of a 50-50 type fight again. And then you add the way their styles match up as well. I love this one on paper.
And Brunson before that, even though he did lose to Cannonier, before he lost to Duplessis. But he had beaten Till. He had beaten Kevin Holland, Shabazzian, and I think he handed him his first loss when he was, I want to say, 10-0 or 11-0. Ian Heinisch. So he wasn't Elias Theodoro. He wasn't Theodoro. He wasn't fighting a shitty fight. He was fighting really good fighters. And Brunson looked great for a while. I mean, getting older. I mean, he's like, was he 38 now, 39?
Yeah.
I was really hoping for a title shot because I love Derek Brunson. But, you know, I think that Duplessis loss may have really set him back a little bit. It looks like now, Myra Bueno Silva is in the waiting room fighting Raquel Pennington for that vacated belt in the co-main on Saturday. Really, really interesting. And Raquel has looked really good since that. Did she fight again after that Amanda loss? She had, I think she had two straight losses, if I remember correctly. Was it Holly she lost to?
Yeah.
Why don't I just look at the sheet instead of fucking guessing? Let's bring in Myra right now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
How are you?
Good, and you?
Very good. And how do you feel about this this shot for the vacated belt? How did you find out you were getting this?
I'm feeling great about everything. I'm ready for take my belt. This belt now is my belt.
Good. Do you feel better knowing? I thought it was very unfair what they did after the Holly Holm fight. I thought that was unfair. They should not have taken that from you. But do you feel better now knowing that you're okay and you don't have to worry about that anymore with the medication?
I think everything happened for me helped another person stay the same place with me. I think for me help other people now need help in the mental health.
So you are comfortable. I like that you're comfortable being very open and letting your struggles kind of help somebody else, because we all deal with things. And it's to hear a fighter so strong talking about having issues, you know that that helps a lot of people.
Yeah, of course. I can't. Everybody need help one moment in your life. I'm here for help because I can't talk about this because I stay in the same this place.
Yes. And John, I don't want to, if you wanted to, if there's something you wanted to ask, I don't want to just feel free, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just curious maybe how challenging this has been with people maybe not giving the title the respect it deserves because Amanda Nunes walked away, but this is a UFC title fight. And I feel like maybe people aren't giving you two the respect that you deserve in this moment. Has that been challenging for you to maybe not receive the respect you think you deserve in a UFC title fight?
No, I feel everything's happened. When I knock her out, when I win, I take my belt, everybody go to the homes, talk about me. And then my next fight is different. It's going to be different.
Oh, gotcha.
Let me ask as well, as I say, because we know what is next after this fight, right? Is Juliana Pena, who's been out there talking a lot. And I just wonder how much of a struggle it's been to focus on Raquel Pennington, right? Because she's a durable fighter, a great athlete. You know there's a matchup with Juliana Pena, but how hard has it been to not think about Juliana Pena and to just stay centered on this matchup?
Man, when I win Raquel, everything's more easy because Raquel is tough, but Juliana, easy money.
Easy money. Also, you know, Raquel, after that loss to Amanda, she lost to Jermaine. And then she has won 6 out of her 7 last fights. She's looked really, really good since that that loss. She did lose a decision to Holly. What do you think that she has changed, or what have you noticed different in her since those two losses?
I think she improved her mind and her mentality, and because she fights like the same fights, the same things. But I think she improved her mind.
How have you handled? You handle the pressure so well. You have not been in the UFC that long, and already you've main evented. You're fighting for the title. Has it been a struggle for you with the pressure, the all of a sudden pressure? You seem to be doing very well with it.
Man, everything is happy in my life because God bless me. God bless me too much.
So you feel blessed, and you don't worry about the pressure because you feel like this is all part of how it's supposed to be.
No, I feel depression. If one person talk about it, don't feel pressure, it's bullshit. Everybody feel pressure. It's bullshit. But I support this pressure because God bless me, and then I am the chosen one. I prove for everybody that I am the chosen one.
Do you visualize things? Some fighters visualize the entire fight before it happens and go through it in their minds and picture themselves with the belt. How do you approach a fight mentally? Do you go through it like that and picture everything that might happen, or how do you deal with that?
I always do this, but this time is different. I think about other things. I'm nervous about other things, not about the fight, not about Raquel, but about the fight, about the press conference, you know, because it's my first time there. But I feel great about that.
So the nerves are not as much about the fight as they are about the spotlight from the other things being the co-main event.
Yeah, exactly. I think in the Saturday I'm stay more nerves because the fight, but now I just enjoy the process.
I think that's a good thing because it's something else to focus on, because you've done your training. You're not going to train more in the next 3 days. So for your mind to be on something else, it might actually be a good way to handle the nerves, having other things so you don't overthink the fight, so you don't over-obsess about the fight.
Exactly. I have a lot of things before the fight. I have cut to weight. I have conference. I have face-to-face. And then Saturday, I think about the fight.
Jim, let me jump in real
sure,
quick.
Sure, John.
Mara, I was going to ask you, I mean, Alexander Pantoja, obviously, you've got a lot of people in American top team you could pull from, but man, what he's had this year, what he's gone, how much have you sought attention or advice from him, I should say, and what has he had to say to you this week?
He helped me too much, man. I go the fight that was when you fight, I go to the fight. I see everything. I imagine in my moment. I feel everything. He told me, "Hey, look, everything it's happened with you, and then enjoy now. But focus in your fight. When happened with you, you stay more relaxed. Exactly exactly like I feel now."
That's awesome. He's great advice, and it's funny because I'm telling you, you need to stay focused on this fight. But I do have to wonder. Sounds like the UFC going back to Brazil in May as a champion, maybe the easy money fight with Juliana Pena in Brazil. Do you see that as a goal, as a possibility?
I love this idea.
And with someone like Juliana, who you don't like what she said, you don't like the comments she made. Is it hard for you to separate that in the cage, like to not fight emotionally, to not let yourself, you know, we saw the best case example would obviously be Jose against Connor, allowing emotion to kind of dictate a mistake. And some fighters try to use that to get their opponent to make a mistake. Is that something that you are aware of and conscious of and careful of?
No, I like separate. I know separate the things. When I will fight with her, I will use this for guys for me train more hard, train more. But when you go fight, everything's changed.
Right, you don't allow it to interfere and get too emotional in the cage and cause you to make errors.
Exactly. I will show you for her who is Chitara.
Well, Myra, congratulations on getting this shot. It's a great fight and the co-main event. It'll be very interesting to see as well how Raquel responds, to getting this this shot. Number two against number three, you both deserve this. And if you win, I really would love to see that Pena fight in Brazil. But good luck with Raquel first. I know you got to get through that. And good luck fighting. I hope you do well and have a great fight.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again. I know that fighters, especially cutting weight, are always like, you try to you have them for a few minutes and don't. John, feel free to jump in, by the way. Like, please don't wait for me. Just pop in whenever you want.
You got it, man. I appreciate it. No, it's great. You know, listen, this is an interesting title fight as well because, first of all, props to her for doing an interview in her second language. I mean, I always applaud fighters. They'll do that. I know it sounds kind of bad to say, like, you should speak English. Maybe we should speak Portuguese, but let's just be honest. The majority of the audience is here in the United States, especially the pay-per-view buying audience. Yeah. So if you can communicate with them, it's great. But I feel kind of bad for these two ladies because, and this happens. When a champion walks away then you have two people fill in to fight for that title, right away it kind of feels like, yeah, but they weren't the ones. They're only fighting because the champion walked away. And it's unfortunate that that's the way this played out. And I hope that, whoever is victorious here can start making a charge and start erasing that, because it just takes a couple of extra results, a couple extra wins for people to put that mindset away. But it's challenging right now because I don't think they're getting the respect they deserve for this fight. But if she said, hey, man, you go out here and you get a big knockout, then you go out there and you deal with Juliana Pena, and maybe if they can do that fight in Brazil, I mean, now you start changing the perception a little bit. So big opportunities there.
Yeah, it is one of those things where, but again, especially when somebody like Amanda Nunes, who was so dominant for so long, it's not somebody who just had the belt like when Jiří Procházka vacated it because of an injury. Like, yeah, all right, he's a great fighter, but he had I don't even think he had defended at that point. It's a different tone to then when someone so dominant walks away. But again, nobody ducked Amanda. I mean, no. Raquel did fight her. Amanda was done. I hated that she retired because I enjoyed watching her fight, but maybe she felt like, nah, I've done enough.
Yeah. I hated that she walked away, but I love the way she did it, man. I thought that was so cool to lay down two belts and to bring her kid into the cage and running around with a beer in there. I mean, what a scene that was. But you're right. I mean, it's funny. Like, you talk about pro wrestling, they always say, you got to give the rub to the young guy. The old guy's got to put the young guy over, because that's what happens. There's just this little vacuum where you go, well, I don't know if they're really a deserving champion. So look, I think, a statement can be made on Saturday night, and then you start trying to link together defenses and you start, pecking away at that perception, so to speak. So it's a little bit of an uphill battle, but two athletes that, as you said, deserve to be in the fight. I mean, they're the ones at the top of the division. They're the ones that have gone on the win streaks. They're the ones that have got the results. They deserve this opportunity.
Yeah. And we also have Arnold Allen coming on shortly, fighting Mozar Ivloev. And he's a really the stat I read today. I mean, I'm sure I had watched so many of his fights, but I didn't realize he had not had any stoppages since he's been in the UFC. Now, it doesn't mean anything. Some people just fight to decision a lot, but you wonder if that goes into what does Arnold Allen think about that, or any fighter fighting someone that hasn't stopped anybody? Does that tell you anything about them? I don't even know what it would be. I'm not a fighter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everybody wants to get those finishes. Everybody wants to get those highlights. I mean, when you're competing at the highest level, that's easier said than done, right? When you're facing the absolute best in the world on the other side, that's difficult to do. When you're on the regional scene fighting overmatched, unqualified competition, it's a heck of a lot easier. But yeah, I think, Arnold wants to make those statements, wants to get them. But it also says something about their character, that they can push to the edge every single time. They can go all the way to the end, and they're going to be the ones to get their hand raised. I mean, he had some dominant performances along the way. The exclamation points are nice. They really are. They add a little bit of something to the resume. But, man, the win streak that he had, I know he's coming off a loss. I know how frustrating that is. But, man, you can't ignore that win streak he put together. 10-1 in the UFC is incredible.
Guys like Calvin Kattar, Dan Hooker, Sadiq Youssef, Nick Land. I mean, he fought some really, really good. And look, I mean, Frankie Edgar had I don't know if he still has the record for most hours in the octagon or most minutes in the octagon. But it's like that, as much as that gives you such a high fight IQ and great experience, it also wears on you. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it really fucking, it wears on your body because, you know, you're still, you know, being taken down, taking people down, getting hit. You know, it takes away probably a little bit of longevity.
It's the hard part about this sport, right? Because this sport is so chaotic. Everything happens so fast in there, and you hear people talk about it. And over time, you get more comfortable in there. The fight slows down for you a little bit. You can think, you can hear your corner, you can hear those instructions. But as you said, as you continue to get better and better mentally, your body continues to get worse and worse physically. And so you just try to cross those paths somewhere at the right time to get you a title shot, get you the highest level of sport. But yeah, I mean, this is not a sport you can do forever, man. Your body just can't take it. So the faster you can get in there and get out, the better for self-preservation. But there is value in those, you know, long fights sometimes just because you get comfortable in there.
And whenever I talk about like fighting with emotion where it hurts you, I mean, Jose Conner is the most obvious and one of the biggest things. But I mean, Paulo Costa, I think, against Izzy. I mean, Izzy did kind of freeze him, but I think that he got a little bit psyched out before he went in there. I think that his head wasn't in the right space. And if you could think of any other examples of guys, I was thinking that as we were talking, like, who else has gone in there? And I thought Alvarez was overwhelmed by that moment at MSG against Conner. But
yeah.
I don't necessarily mean that. Is not the same as fighting with emotion, where as Jose was so fucking mad, he wanted to get a quick knockout. I'm trying to think of other examples of that.
Listen, Jose is always the perfect example to go to, but I did think, man, I'll never forget, you know, you said it right, man. Conor McGregor is the master of that. I thought Eddie Alvarez was good all week long, and then at the press conference, he kind of lost it, you know what I mean? And then you look at the flip side. You know, I think about when Nate Diaz knocked Cowboy Cerrone's head off back for the old school. You know, he knocked his hat off at the stare down, and that pissed him off, and then he went in with emotion he didn't need to have. I mean, there's examples of it along the way, but I think about the other side of it, too. Remember, as dark as it was, as terrible as a fight week that was, but Habib and Conor, remember at the press conference where Habib came out even before Dana White came out on the stage and said, look, press conference is starting, let's go. And he gave it like 15 minutes. Conor wasn't there. He got up and walked away. It was like, my time's done. So there is such a masterful thing to not allow yourself to kind of mentally fall into those traps. And it's weird because people may say, well, you want to have that extra fire. You want to have that extra adrenaline. But yeah, when you're going there emotional, like you said, and you're not really thinking things through, and all you're trying to do is just hurt that guy versus really implement the game plan and do what you know is best. And hey, we've worked on this. We know where the openings are. We know where the opportunities are going to be. Instead, you just come out there, you know, eyes red, looking to throw down. That can be a very, very bad thing.
I would love to ask Cormier. I wonder if he ever felt that way against Jones. Because they had such a animosity at times between them. Did that ever affect? It's hard to not let it. Like, some guys are robotic and can just shut it the fuck. Like, for Habib not to get flustered, especially after the things Conor had said about his dad or about the whole bus, like, there was so much. And the fact that I think Conor was a little better on the floor than Habib planned. I mean, I think he probably thought he'd submit him in the first round. And the fact that I think it went to the fourth, if I remember correctly. But yeah, it's got to be hard to not let that interfere.
Has to be. As professional as Daniel Cormier is, as, you know, experienced as he is, I mean, that was a blood feud rivalry. I mean, you think about, obviously, the brawl in the MGM lobby. You think about, you know, that famous, you know, exchange on the cameras where they were in the opposite rooms where he's like, I would literally kill you. Where they were oh my gosh. I mean, that was blood feud. You know who else used to be amazing at that? Michael Bisping used to get under people's skins tremendously. Yep. He was so good at just riling people up. And again, getting him to fight kind of out of character. And really, they just want to hurt the guy and shut the guy up. And that could be a weapon. That mental warfare is a weapon that you can use for your advantage.
Chael Sonnen too. I remember, I want to say it was after the second Anderson fight when he tried that spinning back fist and fell. If I remember right, he was doing very well in that first round. Was that the first round that happened or the second round? I don't remember.
Early on. Yeah. I mean,
it was early in the fight.
How great he did in the first fight. I mean, that was unbelievable. And to come out and do that, that was wild. Was that the mental warfare playing on the other side? What was the reasoning behind that? You know?
Well, I remember Silva. I think he cried after that fight. Like, he was so overcome by emotion that he just, I think that fight meant so much to him because the humiliation of the way Chael was taunting him, to have lost to him, would have been too much. And it just seemed like if he was fighting with emotion, maybe it didn't affect his performance. But if I remember, he was losing that first round. But yeah, he lost all. I mean, it was the fifth that he caught Chael, but I think he had lost every round except for that moment.
Like,
he,
I'll never forget. I had my story basically written working cage side, man, because it was just like, well, nothing's changed in this fight. And then it had to delete everything and start over when he got the miraculous come from behind finish, man. That was what a classic moment that was in UFC history.
And it also, I mean, and you look at it, it's so funny, Chael, because Jones broke his toe when they fought in that, I think in that first round. And had Chael been able to, you know, easier said than done, but survive that first round, he would have been champion. And he missed light heavyweight championship and middleweight championship by like very slim margins. And he could have fought Silva different in that fifth round and probably just kind of kept him at bay and won that belt pretty easily.
You know, it's funny. I just saw a clip from that recently pop up randomly on timeline that I had totally forgotten about. It was afterwards, Chael was like, you know, the problem was I misunderstood the rules. I thought if I tapped, I just lost that round, but then I would win the fight. And only Chael Sonnen can get away with that, where you're, it's like, so dude, funny. You are hilarious, man. The Chael, one of the greatest ever on the microphone, man. It obviously continues to be so to this day.
Yeah, he was. And look, him going, you can't just sit there and do nothing against Anderson and coast to a win. But I mean, the fact that he was being as aggressive as he was, it was just amazing. It just shows how much he really wanted to finish that fight, and he wanted to just do as much damage as possible. But yeah, he was hilarious. And there was always something when you see guys trying to do what Chael was a master at. A lot of guys are lacking something that he had, because there was something that made you love Chael, even though he would say things that made people furious. It felt genuine, and it felt like this is who this guy is. But when people try to emulate that, a lot of times it looks really bad.
Yeah, and it's been such a point of discussion lately, right? Like, where does the trash talk go, and what's the line on it, and are there certain things you shouldn't talk about? But I think that's the biggest thing, too. You know, hey, we started off the show talking about sincerity. I mean, I think there's some kind of sincerity in who you put out there as well. I mean, yes, there is a little – there's no question there's an entertainment side of fighting as well, yeah. Right? It's not just what happens in the cage and the techniques. You know, it's the buildup and the discussion and, you know, like I said, the fact that Sean Strickland and Dricus du Plessis had this, you know, altercation in the crowd where Sean – you know, peacefully ask Gilbert Burns' kids to step aside first before he jumped over. I mean, that stuff, yeah. You know, it's fun, but it's got to be sincere. You know what I mean? I think there's got to be some form of sincerity to it. And Chael was the master at it, man. If you're ever going to pattern yourself after somebody, and I think that's the key is don't necessarily pattern yourself after somebody, right. Maybe find a voice that echoes your own and you can kind of emulate that. But like, you're not going to be Conor McGregor. Like, Conor McGregor is unbelievable, once in a generation, amazing. And if you try to do that, I just think it comes off poorly, and I think people see right through it.
Yes, and we'll bring Arnold Allen in right now. And to your point about that, it's funny, even Strickland, who did move the kids, if you remember, I think it looked like he was punching him on the shoulder. Like, he's not stupid. Like, he wasn't trying to break his jaw, and he wasn't trying to break his own hand on du Plessis', you know, fucking marble head. So he did. He still had his wits about it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit Vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Hey, Arnold, how you doing?
What's up, buddy? I'm good, thanks, man. You?
Very good, buddy. Thanks for joining us. Great fight. What do you think about Evloev? And look, he's undefeated in the UFC and has fought some great fighters, but you have really fought the top fighters in the division. And what do you think about his record he's accumulated and him as a fighter in general?
Yeah, he's very good. Very good. He's undefeated for a reason. He's on a hot streak. you know, he's full of confidence, and I'm sure he's coming to try and stake a claim for a title shot, but I'm going to put my name back in that hat and get back to it.
And how are you doing after, look, losses affect different people differently. I mean, most guys just move on from it. But, you know, you lost to one of the greatest fighters. It was a good fight. And how did you feel after that? And how did you kind of get yourself situated again?
Yeah, it sucks. But, you know, once you get back to training and have a couple of weeks of eating my feelings and being a bit sad about it, I'm back in the gym and trying to fix those problems and get better. That's, you know, I don't dwell on it.
Do you allow yourself to feel, even whether I've said, you say you have a great win, do you allow yourself to kind of relish in that for a while and feel great about it? Or how long do you give yourself to kind of enjoy what you're doing before you stop the sadness or the enjoyment and go, fuck this, I have to get back to business?
Yeah, like, to be honest, as soon as you win a fight, you know, you're thinking of the next task. As soon as you walk out the cage, the first thing people are asking you, who's next? What's next? Like, no one cares anymore. They want the next thing. So you can't relish it too long. But you can't eat food for a couple of weeks.
Art, I did want, I mean, listen, every fighter would like to go out there and win every fight, right? Like, nobody wants to lose. You get half your paycheck, you get set back. Yeah. I mean, it's not fun, right? But I don't know, is there any benefit at all? Like, it seemed like there was pressure on you, this win streak and, you know, what you had to do. And it's like people are talking more about that necessarily than where you stand, your skills. That's what I mean. Is there any benefit at all that at least, hey, we don't have to have that discussion anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the only question I've been asked like this whole media week is about losing to Max Holloway. I've been asked more about that than I have about my opponent. So it's a weird feeling, but yeah, I don't know. I'm fully focused on this guy. I'm over that fight and, you know, learn my lessons and going to go back to the drawing board better and come back and prove I've improved.
It's been 9 months. I mean, you've had plenty of time to do what you had to do and train. And how do you feel about quick turnaround fights? Like, I mean, again, Volkanovski's a different human being. He's a different person, sure. But he's turning around relatively quickly after that Makhachev fight. And how do you feel about quick turnarounds? Do you take kind of what they give you, or are there times where you're like, I don't feel ready yet. I need some time.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to work for you, isn't it? If you're out of the gym, not training, and you're out of shape, or you're injured, like, what's the point of taking a short notice, you know, unless it makes sense for you and you're ready to go. You know, sometimes guys are training all year round, healthy, ready to go. If an opportunity comes up 3, 4, 5 weeks, it's worthwhile. But if you're coming off an injury and you're not feeling good, then is there any point? But yeah, I don't like the quick turnaround for him, to be honest. After getting knocked out by Makhachev, straight back into the gym, into a camp. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, you wonder when a person does that, when it's a really hard knockout like that, if part of it is just to shake that and get rid of that loss. Yeah. Like, if that becomes the thought, like, I just got to wipe this out, as opposed to, do I feel like this is the right time?
Yeah, like, I mean, if he goes in and looks great, it's almost like the loss didn't happen, right? It's like, just forgot about it. He's in the win column immediately, you know? So, I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea, personally.
And your shirt, what does your shirt mean?
Yeah, it's my dad.
It is your dad.
Faces Jim, yeah. Yeah.
And you got, I was just, because in the pressure, it was saying that you learned a lot of your work ethic from your father, who would fight. And what are the jobs that he have?
He was a strong man. He was a doorman. He was a truck driver. He's an MMA fighter. You know, he's a man of many hats. So he's done it all. And it's definitely inspirational to see him, because he did all these things and put all the work into it. Just seeing how much effort he put into those things is it carried off to me and my brother. Except my brother doesn't work quite as hard.
Yeah. Does it put pressure on you? Like, because your dad, when you look at the things your dad did, they're all like real man activities. Yeah. Fucking truck driver. Just even the things that aren't, it's all shit that a man does. Yeah. Was there any pressure on you growing up, like internally, like, well, I can't paint for a living. I have to do something physical.
No, he never pressured us to do anything. Like, really, just kind of, if we wanted to do it, we were always sort of guided into it. And, you know, I'm 29 years old. I can't reverse a truck for shit. So, so there's that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't either. I'm always fascinated. Does he drive a tractor trailer, or was it a smaller box truck?
Yeah, proper tractor trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, I see them in New York all the time, and it's I literally don't know how anybody turns a corner in that fucking thing. My dad drove a truck too, and he took me in the cab one time, and it's just, it's incomprehensible to me how they don't just panic the second there's a traffic or a turn on a highway.
That's me in my car.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not your skill set, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you expecting out of Yves Loev? And again, I asked this to John before, and as a non-fighter, does it mean anything to you at all that all of his fights, again, he has won all of his fights, all of them have been by decision. Does that tell you anything about his approach as a fighter? The fact that he hasn't knocked anybody out or subbed anybody, does that give you any indication of anything at all or no?
I don't take anything from it. You know, everyone in MMA has got the ability to hurt you. And, you know, there's so many ways you can get caught. You know, we got punches, kicks, you got submissions on the ground. There's so many ways. So, no, and he's been fighting some top guys, tough guys as well, guys that are hard to finish. But I think he's smart. He's got a smart approach. You know, when he needs to, he's happy to run the clock down and control. But when he works, he works. So I'm sure he's going to be looking to try and get something. You know, he's wants to prove this is his big breakthrough, you know. So he wants to prove it and come out and probably try his best to get a finish or something.
What about for you, Arn? I mean, does this feel like a big fight? Because it looked to me, I'll be honest with you, from the outside looking in, I think people are as excited about this fight as any other fight on the card, save for maybe the main event, obviously title on the line. But I think people are really pumped up about not only what it means in the division, but, I mean, just you two guys coming together. It's a hell of a fight on paper. So, I mean, does this feel like a special moment, an opportunity, a chance to right something wrong, or is this just the next assignment for you?
Yeah, no, it's a big opportunity. I think it's a big opportunity. Beating this guy, he's got an undefeated record, you know. Not a lot of guys wanted to take the fight with him. And, you know, I oblige. I'm more than happy. And I want to go out there and prove something, you know, take that guy's O and put myself back up there. Put myself just as I'm still here, you know. I'm not going anywhere.
What, was there any hesitation? I mean, when this was the fight that was announced, you say, we kind of need to fall back, get more of a rebuilding type fight or anything? Or were you excited for the opportunity to face, you know, the undefeated guy?
Yeah, no, I was excited. I was annoyed that it was like 16 weeks notice, but it was, I was hoping to fight sooner, but it worked out. The camp was good. It was hard work, but I'm happy.
And I guess guys do avoid each other, but it doesn't seem like that shouldn't be the mentality anybody has, because you're going to have to go through people you don't want to have to deal with. I mean, there's no way you're going to get to the championship fight and have all perfect stylistic matchups or guys that are ideal for you. You're going to have to go through a few nightmares. But there are guys that just nobody wants to deal with. Like if you look at the, a lower weight division, like Merab is a guy that nobody wants to deal with until they have to, because he never gets fucking tired. Like, you know, so I guess there are those guys.
It's a funny thing. It's when I was ranked about 10 to 15, you're always trying to fight whoever you think is the easiest fight above you, right? Like the highest ranked guy that you think you could beat. Like, oh, that guy's number six. I think I beat him. And style-wise, it matches up. So everyone does it. Everyone does it. But then you get to number three, four, people start saying, oh, I'm not fighting 8, 9, 10. You know what I mean? So.
Wait, right. Well, you're four and you're fighting. He's nine. So,
For me, it's a fight. Like the rankings are kind of, you know, they're manipulated by people. It's just whatever. It's whatever. He's a very good fighter. That's all that matters.
Well, you're saying when you're in the top four, then you start to be a little pickier about who below you you're going to fight. Like, you know what I mean? Because you have a lot more to you. Like, and again, the example I always think of is when Frankie Edgar. Was it Max he was supposed to fight? And then there was the injury. He fought Ortega and he lost. And he wound up losing his shot at the belt. Yeah. I believe that was Max had to step aside. So there's a lot to risk when you're in the top three or four.
Yeah, yeah. You're like on the door of that thing, the title, right? So, yeah.
Well, look, Arnold, you're opening up the pay-per-view card. I mean, this is an unbelievable fight. John is right. I mean, this is you're both such great fighters, and you both fought other great fighters. And before I let you go, do you watch a lot of tape on Yves Loev, or are you not a guy who likes a whole lot of tape? You like to let your coaches do it?
Yeah, I've watched some, but I let my coaches do it. Fraz is one of the best minds in the game. And when he watches the tape, he gives me the stuff to work on, and he sees things better than me from the outside.
Have you ever watched too much tape and then found that you were expecting things, or almost you watch so much on your opponent? Because again, I've seen it work for guys, but then guys expect somebody to do something that they don't do, and it can actually, it seems like it can fuck them up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I never have really been much of a guy. I watch too much tape, so I'm more like a intuitive, you know. I'd just rather go in there and feed it out.
See how it feels. Well, good luck on Saturday, man. Great fight, an amazing, amazing opening to this great card, and have a great fight, man. We're happy to be watching you.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Arnold. Take care. Yeah, his dad is fascinating to me. His dad, it's just like one of those guys that is a fuck it. Like, he just lives in a world that would be so difficult or foreign for me to survive in.
He is a character, to say the least. It's been fun to see him in the corners. He's a great guy. Man, listen, this is a big opportunity for Arnold. And I kind of hate to hear it. You know, I was watching some of his media day and stuff, and he's right. He's getting a lot of questions about the loss, but that's understandable, right? It's the first setback in the UFC, and it was to a legend, and you kind of wonder where it's going to be in the career. But, man, this is right back into another big opportunity. If he wins this, he's right up there at the top of the division. You know, I don't know if Mosar has the casual fans' interest yet to know how good the guy is, but I can tell you the hardcores know how good the guy is. I mean, he's been on the radar for a while. So this would be a huge, huge win. And, you know, maybe line up something in the summertime for Arnold. You know, you're talking about maybe some potential big UK shows over there. I mean, you've got Tom Aspinall, you got Leon Edwards, you know, trying to line some things out. And that would be a big opportunity for Arnold Allen to fight, you know, back home in the UK at a big show like that. So there's a lot on the line. I think it's a big, big fight. And I'm as excited for this one as anything on the card.
Yeah, but you're going to get, like you said, when it's a loss to a guy like Max, who looked really good and who's been looking great as of late, and it is the most recent fight, because if he had knocked Max out in the first round, that's still the thing that people would be asking him about. You know, your most recent fight, if it's noteworthy and not just a decision with a decent fighter, people are going to ask about. All right, well, John, listen, do you have any predictions? Who do you think is going to happen between Strickland and Duplessis?
Man, I feel like this is two bulls that are just going to go out there and collide in the center of the cage, right? I to be honest, you know, I think Dricus du Plessis, I think the power early on, what he brings to the table, the aggression, you know, the grappling opportunities, I think is going to test Sean. But we've seen how durable Sean is and how much he's able to last through that fire and to press past it. And, you know, I'm interested to see the energy levels in a 5-round fight. If it goes that far, how does Dricus hold up in that? You know, he's had this surgery that's supposedly helping him breathe better, you know, helping his conditioning and all that. So I really like the power and the danger of Dricus early. But I like Sean as this thing wears on and goes on. So I'm torn. I can really see either possibility happening. And I'm excited for it. I love fights like that.
I know. I look, could I see Dricus knocking anyone out? Yeah, of course. I mean, he fucking hits like a truck. But I'm going to take Strickland. I think Strickland finds a way to drag him into the later rounds. I think he's smart enough. He's a high enough fight IQ to either tie him up if he's feeling his power, or to just kind of press him enough where it's hard for him to get off what he wants to. So I think that Strickland will I don't think it'll be an easy fight for him at all, but I do think that he winds up with the decision. And Pennington, Myra Bueno Silva, we'll just do those two. I'm going to say that I'm going to think that Bueno Silva will, I think she's going to submit her within the first three rounds. I think she subs Raquel.
Yeah, I think that's a very likely scenario, man. I think she's very dangerous, and she's proven that. She seems to be just getting at a higher level. She seems to be the one in form. Raquel Pennington, as tough as they come, we've seen it, right? Durable. She's got great boxing. But yeah, I like Bueno Silva in this fight as well. Can never count Raquel Pennington out of a fight. She's that tough. She's that durable. And look, she's got the experience at this level. Like Myra was saying earlier, right? She's never been through the big press conference. She's never been through the big ceremonial weigh-ins. And, you know, you say you have all that and you feel confident, and then you get there and it's that night and it's that title fight and everything that you thought you knew changes. You know what I mean? Raquel Pennington has been there, done that. So I think she's mentally more prepared to deal with everything that's going to pop up. But I just look at the frame and the grappling skills of Bueno Silva, and I favor that. Unless, again, people can freeze up. People can have bad moments. They can have bad nights. And Raquel Pennington is capable of beating anybody. So should be competitive. But I like Bueno Silva as well. And, I mean, we like storylines and stuff too, right? Yeah. Bueno Silva and Juliana Pena in Brazil sure would be a lot of fun. That sure would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think when you see your face on the poster, and again, she's had a fight night, but this is a major pay-per-view, and your face is on the poster. Does it Does it make you feel more confident? Does it throw you? I guess every fighter reacts a little bit differently. Let me plug the fights before we wrap up. UFC 297 is it's in freezing Toronto this Saturday, the 20th. The early prelim starts 6:30, ESPN Plus and Fight Pass. The prelims, of course, are 8 o'clock, also ESPN News and ESPN Plus. And the main card's 10 o'clock, ESPN Plus pay-per-view. And just a great, great card. Pollyanna Viena against Jillian Robertson starts off the prelims. Really, really awesome. And Garrett Armfield against Brad Katona is the main fight. I would say main event, the main fight of the prelims. But there's some really good fights. Chris Curtis is fighting on this card. Neil Magny, just an incredible, incredible night.
Yeah, it really is. I think there's going to be a lot of fun fights, and obviously a big night for Canada. There's a lot of Canadians on there that want to stand out fighting at home and have some big moments. You know, you look like Mike Malott is in there, Johan Lioness, Jasmine Davizius. I mean, all of them looking to make statements. So should be a lot of fun. I know, like, you know, as we're starting to see this 298, 299, 300 card come together. I mean, you've got these massive blockbusters coming up. And so you might say, oh, well, this one's not quite as stacked, but I think it's going to be a fun night of fight. Great first pay-per-view of the year for the UFC.
Well, and on 300, just to, they also obviously Gaethje Holloway for the BMF. Ooh. And another a fight that I'm really happy about. I mean, even though Bobby Green's coming off a tough loss to Jalen Turner against Jim Miller. I mean, who the fuck doesn't want to see that fight? I'm happy for Jim Miller that he gets to fight at 300 because he really wanted that. And he earned it with that last fight.
I agree, man. Jim Miller, you know, it's been a conversation point. That man, to me, deserves to be in the UFC Hall of Fame. The type 100%. Of longevity, the type of career that he's had. You don't get to do that. You don't get to compete at the highest level for that long and not get some recognition for it. So, yeah, it's crazy. He had been building to UFC 300. He'd been talking about it, you know, for the past couple of years after getting 100 and 200. And then to take a fight 3 months out from the card just kind of shows you the guy that he is. He's like, well, I mean, I want to be on 300, but I'm a fighter. I fight. That's what I do. Look fantastic in it against Bobby Green, as you said, who, man, Bobby Green is must-see TV. Anytime he's in there, he's going to he's gonna make it entertaining. So that's a great, great matchup. You know, it does kind of make you wonder where that Paul Felder comeback is at. Paul Felder was talking about maybe Jim Miller. So, you know, is there another fight available? So we'll see. And then, as you said, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway for the BMF title. I mean, violence, excitement, insanity, two of the most popular guys in the sport today. I mean, that's going to be amazing. And props to Max Holloway for never backing down, to be able to move up. Yeah. Say, I'll move up a weight class and fight a guy that is one of the most violent dudes in the history of sport. Yeah. Sign me up. Takes a special individual.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Justin can get to his legs. Like, can Justin chop his legs, or is Max able to stay away and avoid that? Because Holloway is just such a smart fighter, and he's just so long, and he's just he's really hard to close distance. So, yeah, I can't wait for that, but 300 is coming up. Thanks a lot, John. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate you stepping in, and as you said earlier, easily replacing Matt Serra. And you were correct. I appreciate you being here.
Just like I said, might as well get rid of that guy, man. Let's do this full time.
Thank you very much, buddy. And we'll talk to you soon. And don't forget the fight this Saturday night. Pay-per-view begins at 10 p.m. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.